Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hello and welcome to the Karma You podcast. This is a place to be to become your calmest, happiest and most confident self. This is Chloe Brotheridge here, your host. Thank you so much for joining me. I hope you're doing well today. And I'm doing a bit of a celebration today because we just passed 100,000 downloads on this podcast. So I'm really excited by the response and thank you so much to everyone that has listened and has left reviews and ratings. Your support means the world to me. So I am really excited to share with you this interview with Alice and Fenella today, who are the founders of the Step Up Club, and they are career experts for modern women. And they're the authors of the brilliant book, Step Up, Confidence, Success, and Your Stellar Career in 10 Minutes a Day. Now they help women in person and online with their Step Up School, and they just launched their own podcast as well, which I am loving. It's called The Success Revolution. So we have a really interesting conversation about what their version of success is and how we can find our own version of success instead of just going with what we think we should want or without even examining what we think success is and what our version of success is. We talk about how to boost your confidence in 10 minutes a day, which I think you're going to love this tip. It's so easy and yet so many of us don't do this, and it's something that we can all start to incorporate into our lives right away to feel more confident. And we also discuss the power of sharing with others and how we can get more of that in our lives so that we feel more supported. We all know that we're not alone. And we also set a bit of a challenge towards the end of the podcast, something that we really suggest you give a try and post about it on the Instagram post about this podcast. So come on over to Instagram, find me at Chloe Brotheridge and let us know what your thoughts are on this. So without further ado, let's get into the interview with Alice and Fenella from Step Up. So welcome, Fenella and Alice. Thank you so much for joining me today. How are you?
Good, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, I'm very good, thank you. Very well. Please, could you tell us what it is exactly that you do and how you got to where you are today?
So we are the co-founders of the Step Up Club. The Step Up Club helps women to progress to where they want in their career, to start businesses, to change career, to get promotions, to get pay rises, to start side businesses, to do whatever it is that they want and need to have a fulfilling and happy career. We believe that success is unique to each and every one of us, and we provide the tools that you need in order to pursue that success. So we have an in-person coaching course, a group coaching course called the Step Up School, which is a Step Up School in a Circle, which runs in London. We've got another round starting in January. We have an online course, Step Up School Online, which it does the same things. We help people to grow their confidence, build their network. We have an awesome network of women within the Step Up Club that you can access and tap for all your business and career needs. We help them to get mentors, see themselves as leaders, and really define what kind of success they want to pursue. We also have a really active Instagram account where we give out loads of advice. We have a weekly newsletter. And most recently, we have a podcast, The Success Revolution, which is all about different definitions of success and how to pursue yours.
Amazing. Thank you for that. And how did you get into this? How did you come to do this work?
Well, we've had very different career paths to date. So we know each other, and just to give you a bit of background, because I am very old friends with Fenella's husband. So I used to hang out with him on street corners, nice street corners, when we were in our teens. And so we were peripheral friends. Friends, but who were post-university going on very different paths. So I was always wanted to be a journalist, a kind of a style journalist, and I worked at the Times for 10 years, and then I've worked at several of the kind of glossy women's glossy magazines, writing around fashion and women's issues and things like that, and then had children and just assumed that my career would take on a kind of freelance capacity, and that it would all be very, very easy, and that I could juggle being a mum and a freelancer, and actually it wasn't as easy as I thought it was going to be for several reasons. Number one, being a freelancer is definitely harder work than I thought it was. There's lots of pitching, there's lots of, you still have to be in it to win it, as it were. And if you're at home with kids, it isn't so easy to be out there finding stories. And also kind of luck was against me, and that our industry, or my industry, was going through a huge change just when I wanted to come back and be a freelancer. So obviously the rise of digital media, blogging, social media slightly cannibalized that career and made it much more difficult. So I found myself at a kind of crossroads in my career where I knew I wanted to work. I had a lot of passion and expertise, and I wasn't sure exactly in which direction I wanted to channel those. Nelly, you speak for yourself.
So my career path, as Alice said, is completely different. I mean, they really couldn't be more different.
No.
After university, went to law school. I basically didn't really know what to do, and I thought I could just be a student for another couple of years. So I went to law school. I then trained as a lawyer, a corporate lawyer in the city. It wasn't really well suited to me. It certainly didn't suit my definition of success. But I didn't really know what else to do, and I looked at lots of other options, and I ended up going into equity fund management, which is managing people's money, basically, investing it in different companies. I did that for a while, and then I got pregnant, and it was a little bit before any of my friends, and I left on maternity leave thinking that I would go back very quickly within a few months and I would go back full time. And I was sort of hit with this completely unexpected feeling that there was just no way that I could do that. I tried to find a way to do it a little bit more flexibly, but it wasn't really an option at that time. This was 10 years ago. So I had to look for something new, and I was quite lost because I knew I wanted to work, but I didn't know what to do. And eventually I heard about something called career coaching. And so I went to see a coach, and I had some sessions with a coach. And these sessions with the coach, where she was talking about different options I could do, were good. But the main reason they were good is because I was sitting there thinking, number one, this coaching thing is amazing, and I didn't know it existed. And number two, I'm going to do what you do. Your suggestions are great, but I'm going to do what you do because actually you're fulfilling all of the things that are included in my definition of success, helping people, talking. I love talking, in case you haven't noticed. Being around amazing women, inspiring, helping people. I really like to help people. I get a buzz out of it, and also it's flexible. So I requalified as an executive coach. I did a master's in occupational psychology. I'm now an accredited executive coach, and I was doing lots of coaching in law firms and banks particularly, and other big corporates, helping women to redefine their success after maternity leave. Lots of them offer maternity coaching, running women's leadership programs. And I thought, you know, why did I not have access to this? And also, why do all my friends not have access to this, who are not either high potential lawyers or high potentials at a big investment bank? Everybody should have this information, because our careers would be so much happier and our lives would be so much better if we did have it. And I thought, well, the obvious answer is to write a book. But the way I write is quite academic, like a lawyer. So I knew that I needed someone to write it with me. And I have known Alice for a long time, and I've always thought she's an incredible writer. And we'd seen each other, you know, at parties, and I knew she was a feminist, and I knew that she was looking for a new path, and that we were kind of in the same position. And so I just said to her, what do you think? And she was like, yeah, okay, why not? So that was the genesis of it. We Googled, how do you write a book proposal? we duly wrote a book proposal and we sent it off to two agents, and one of them took us on because they could see that there was a real need for this. And that was the genesis of Step Up, and it's all grown from there. Everything that we've done has come from requests from our audience, essentially. So we wrote the book, brands read the book and really liked it and wanted to work with us getting this content out to their customers. Their customers saw it and wanted more, so they came directly to us and said, well, you know, could you give us more? Could you run courses? So we developed Step Up School, and then again, people have heard us interviewing at events and said, oh, you know, you should really do a podcast, and they've been saying that to us for about a year, and eventually we've done it.
Hooray, yeah.
I think we're proof that we all have the capacity to make a career change, that jobs for life are kind of an obsolete concept, and that you can't necessarily plan your future in a, you know, that there's something exciting about that. And I think we, at the beginning, writing the book was, it felt like, you know, exactly the right thing to do. And, you know, we are so grateful that we were able to publish with a brilliant publisher, and it really started us off on a great footing. What we realized in the process of writing the book and everything that's come since then is that we are living the career change and the pressures and the difficulties in some senses that the women that we coach go through too. And that has helped, I think, our message resonate loudly with people who are interested in making that career change too, because we literally have been there and done it and are still really learning, but we have the expertise and the experience to guide women to make those changes too, because invariably as women, we reach a stage in our life and in our career where we want different things, where our definition of success changes, and that's where we come in to support women to realize what that change is and to help them achieve what they want out of their careers and their lives.
Because I think, you know, your working life is one of the most important things in your life, and I think you were saying, Fenella, that so many people have never heard of career coaching or don't know that it's an option or don't understand how powerful it is, and yet it is, you know, arguably one of the most important areas that we do need help with. And I think lots of people do get stuck in going down a certain path, and they feel like they don't have any option to leave. And actually, there are a lot of options available out there. What are the main things that you see people struggling with? The things that you see kind of again and again?
Confidence is a massive one. We understand that. We've both been there. One of the fundamental things that we do through all our work, particularly through Step Up School, is rebuild that confidence. We see people struggling with what their success is because they haven't even, they feel dissatisfied or unhappy, but they haven't really articulated the fact that that's because they were either pursuing a definition of success that wasn't the right definition of success for them. So they had somehow taken on society's definition of success, like me. Like, oh, well, I don't know what to do. Being a lawyer is a really good job and it pays well and my parents will be happy and impressed. So that's what I'm going to do. But it didn't suit me, so I was never going to be happy. Or they pursued the right definition of success, like Alice, but then something changed either in them or in the industry or both, and they need to redefine that. And people, that's a very... quite a nuanced concept, and it's something that when I say it now sounds quite obvious, but actually if you haven't thought of it, you wouldn't necessarily know why you were feeling that dissatisfaction. And so I think those are the two. There are lots of things that we teach people, how to, you know, real skills, how to network, how to get a mentor, how to stand up in front of a room, or how to be interviewed, how to go back to work after having a baby. But the kind of key things, I think, again and again, overarch everybody, are the success and confidence.
Yeah. I think often, well, from people that I speak to, people are very good at knowing what they don't want, but often don't know what they want and haven't actually sat down and thought about it or had the guidance or the structure to really figure that out. So just, yeah, being able to know what you actually want is such an important part of it.
And something that we feel that we offer is that perspective and that time, because I think you're right. You know, we kind of rush through life. Everything's fast paced. You know, we have expectations of ourselves. We have other people. We feel other people have expectations of us, and that we must just get our head down and power through. And actually, carving out some time to think about what you really want, or carving out some time to build skills that will enhance your career, give you more clarity of thought, make you able to achieve the success that you want, is something that is still, I think, quite alien to us. And so one of our messages is that it's okay to take that time. You know, if you spend 10 minutes a day improving your career behaviors rather than finishing or clearing your inbox, the impact of that is going to be so much greater on your fulfillment, on your success in the long run. And so it's kind of educating people and reminding people that actually we all need that perspective and that time. And what we do at Step Up School is everyone comes in, basically turns their phones off. And that's, we run it either as a half day session or as a full day session. That is a big block of time where you are just focusing on yourself. You're connecting with other women. You're thinking about your career in a different way. You're listening to other people and their, you know, their experiences. And we also replicate that online by pooling our students into online hangouts. So very much at the heart of everything that we do is connecting women. And we know that women are stronger together, and that shared experience is such an important part of building confidence and understanding what we want from life. And so we facilitate that as well as offering all the skills and kind of practical advice for career development.
And I know that in your book you talk about starting to improve your confidence in 10 minutes a day. Is there something that people listening can start to do if they want to improve their confidence?
Yeah, so the 10 minutes a day idea is based on what Alice is talking about, the idea that the incremental benefit of 10 minutes focusing on some kind of personal or career development rather than just doing, you know, everything that we do every single day. With confidence, it's not a quick fix, but if you had 10 minutes a day, it would make a big difference over a few weeks or a month, would be to start a brag file. And a brag file is essentially, it's another word for it in cognitive behavioral therapy terms, would be a positive belief record. And the idea behind that is that this is an empirically proven method to create positive beliefs where there might have been negative beliefs before. So an alternative positive belief to something that you believe is bad about yourself or is going wrong. And what you do is you collect evidence to the contrary. So every time as humans, we focus always on the negative and we latch onto things going down and things going wrong rather than congratulate ourselves on positive or hook onto positives. And what this does is this encourages you to hook onto positives. So every time somebody pays you a compliment, every time you get an email saying that something was good, every time you see a review of something you've done, or you get a repeat client, or even things that might be outside the sphere of work. So somebody says, you know, you're obviously a really good mother, your children are so lovely, or anything like that, write it down. And what you'll find is that actually you're getting a lot more positive feedback than you realize, because we almost don't hear it, we just dismiss it. And if you start to do that consciously for 10 minutes every day, all the positive things that I've heard about myself or read about myself today, write it down or file it away on your computer. And then every, say, Friday, have 10 minutes where you reread it all. And what you'll find is that over time, over a few weeks, you'll start to feel a lot better about yourself.
I absolutely love that idea. A brag file. Okay. Because I think we do, well, I hear this all the time, that people dismiss compliments, can't absorb compliments, can't think about themselves, or almost, I think we've been raised to be modest and to not brag and to not show off and to, you know, it's arrogant to, you know, think that you're good at something even. And we've taken that too far, and it means that we can't acknowledge at all the good things that we're doing. So by actually spending a bit of time reminding yourself of those things, knowing that it's okay to accept compliments, it's okay to know that you're good at things, it's going to start to change those beliefs.
And also be able to communicate those positive sides of yourself to others as well. So we talk a lot about self-promotion, something that women find incredibly difficult, but is actually the number one career activity linked to pay growth, and something that women, as I said, find very, very difficult. And so building that brag file, feeling more comfortable with thinking about your strengths. And obviously, you know, you're not going to be great on all fronts. No one is. There's no such thing as perfection. But if you are able to say, well, actually, my weaknesses or my shortcomings are X, Y, and Z, but my strengths are A, B, and C, you know, there's something very real about that. You don't have to, it's not about suddenly becoming the most kind of self-congratulatory person saying, I'm incredible, I'm going to tell everyone I'm incredible. But it's about editing yourself, knowing what you are good at, what you can bring to the table, and what makes you unique as well. We're all unique individuals. You know, what you bring to the table or your thoughts are going to be different to mine. And just being able to have the confidence to know, well, actually, my opinion or my experience is different to everyone else's, and therefore that's what makes me unique, is, you know, something very powerful that we don't do.
Yeah, I love that. I love the idea of kind of owning your weaknesses in a way, and knowing that it's okay not to be perfect. And yeah, I think it is part of being authentic and part of being a whole person, rather than having to put on this front of having it all together. And I guess that can come off as arrogant sometimes when we're having to put on a front. And you know, we're insecure inside, but we put on sort of a front, and that can come across as arrogant, I think, sometimes. But actually owning your successes and owning the positive aspects of yourself, that's how you develop real confidence, I think.
Yeah.
Have there been things from the people that you've spoken to and in your work that have really surprised you, that you just thought, you know, I wasn't expecting that, or anything that's really stood out to you?
When I was a child, I wanted my job, the job that I wanted to do, like my dream job was, I lived in America until I was 9. I wanted to be the president of America. And obviously at that point, there had been no female president, but I obviously assumed.
Still hasn't.
No, but I obviously assumed that, you know, by the time I was 11 or 12, there would have been. And then I thought by the time I was 20, and there still hasn't been one. And I really think I was always a feminist, a conscious feminist from a very young age. And I just kind of thought it was something that would become irrelevant because things seem to be changing so fast. And actually, I'm quite shocked that things haven't changed faster. And I think that's because I had missed a fundamental point, which is, it's not only about equality, which I don't think we have yet. I think there's progress, but I don't think we have it yet. Certainly on the domestic front, we don't have it. And in terms of emotional labor and emotional load, we do not have it. But also that I had missed a fundamental point, which is that actually equality is one thing, but difference is another thing, and that the genders are very different. And so whilst we can aspire to total equality, we're quite a long way from it still, I think, we will never be the same. And so there will always be a need for what we do, because as women, we are different and we have different needs and we like to share in different ways, and our the way we express our emotions is different. And actually, our definitions of success, this is borne out not only by our experience, but by huge research projects, that our definitions of success are much more nuanced and varied than would tend to be the case for men. And there are all kinds of reasons for that. But I think that's the biggest shock to me, is actually this is still relevant. And actually, I think even if we got equality, women would still want a space and need a space where they can be together and grow in a slightly different way. Don't know about what you think.
I think something that I've realised through running Step Up School, like I said, about the connection that the women feel in the room, is that something I find still very sad is that we are such solitary beings in so much of what we do, because of our kind of what we call the mental ticker tape, all of our thoughts that go on in our mind. And we don't communicate enough. And actually, you know, you get 30 women in the room who are all from very, very different backgrounds, in different industries, at different stages in their career. And the first thing that we do is we get them to stand up, which some people find painful, but actually once a few people have done it, it feels very natural. And we kind of get them to say what they do, why they're there, and tell us something funny about themselves. And invariably it's something kind of self-deprecating, which breaks the ice. But you feel an immediate sense of relief in the room, where you can just sense that everyone else is thinking, oh, okay, she's struggling too, or I'm not the only one that's got no confidence, or yeah, my business looks great from the outside, but behind the scenes, you know, I'm like a swan and my feet are going constantly and I don't have a handle on my work-life balance. And I think it's surprising in an age where we're so literate in communication on one level. You know, we're all on Instagram, we're amazing at sending each other WhatsApps, et cetera, that we don't draw strength and understanding and perspective from each other enough. And actually that power of communication, of support, and of not feeling alone is as valid as everything that we teach. And I think that's something that I feel incredibly passionate about, is actually just picking people up and saying, come here, be in this space, and you will feel better.
So what is the solution to that? Is it joining groups where you're with other women talking about things? Is it about asking for help from people? What do you think the solution is for that?
Well, I mean, I don't think there's one catch-all solution, but I think putting yourselves in a space with other women where you don't feel threatened, where there's shared experience, and being able to be open and vulnerable, is a simple thing to do in a way. You know, it's not easy to get out and do it, but it's not... I think we all have the ability to find groups, and that could be through sport. It can be through, I don't know, your hobby. It doesn't have to be necessarily career related, but it's the act of leaving your phone somewhere, getting out and being with people who are maybe very similar to you or very different to you. I think it's just being with people. I don't know.
I mean, obviously, the best scenario would be come to Step Up School.
Yeah.
Seriously, I think Alice is right. And I think also... you know, connecting in person is amazing, but you can connect with people in lots of different ways. Mm. If you see, for example, Instagram, there's lots of talk at the moment about the negativity around Instagram, but if you use it in the right way, it could become, it can become a community for people, and it can become a place where you find your group, and then you're able to share and feel better about it. Similarly at work, if you don't feel that you're represented at work, then you know, start a group that represents you, whatever that group might be. I actually saw an amazing play last night called The Hose at the Hampstead Theatre, and it's written, and I've now forgotten her surname, but after the play they did a panel discussion with three female actors, a female director and a female playwright. It's her first play, and they the actors and the playwright are all 25 or 26 years old, and they're all black women. And it was her first play, and she was driven to write it because she has a business and she wanted to do something creative. It was a brilliant play. And she was driven to write it. She said, I don't see myself reflected anywhere. So she went to Cambridge, she's educated, she's a successful businesswoman, she's black and she's from Essex and she's a woman. And she said, you know, all the stories that I see about black women are about struggle or hardship or maybe being in an estate. And they're all really interesting, valid stories, but they don't reflect my experience as a Cambridge graduate and a successful businesswoman. All the stories that I see about Essex are about, you know, things like the only way is Essex. That doesn't reflect me. I'm educated and I'm pursuing, you know, pursuing a business, and all my friends are pursuing these really, you know, they're consultants and they're lawyers and they're pursuing these different careers. I don't see myself reflected anywhere. I'm going to write it. I'm going to create it for myself. And I think that's kind of what we have to do. And that's what we've done with Step Up, is like we didn't see it reflected, so we've created it. And I think that everyone has the power to do that. If you don't see the group that you can belong to, create the group.
So creating almost a women's group or a sharing circle or something, even in your community, where people can be open and talk about things. And I think we're often looking for a sense that we're not alone. That's what I, from the groups that I've done and workshops that I've delivered, people just want to know that they're not alone and that they're not the only ones struggling with that. And it's something so comforting about hearing from other people that are going through the same thing as you.
Yeah.
So we've been talking about success and redefining success. What does success mean to each of you? I'm curious to know.
I think our definition of success is quite similar. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of the reasons that our partnership works, is because although personality-wise we're very different, we're always going towards the similar or same goal, and we have the same touch points along the way. So for me, it's about helping people. It's about being excited. It's about always believing in possibility. So in Step Up School, we get people to do a kind of a tagline or a success motto. And mine is, yes, you can. And that's because I I don't ever really think something's not possible. So like, I thought I wanted to write a book. I just always thought, it's not that I'm arrogant or I think I'm better than anyone else. I think anyone can write a book. I just thought it would be possible. There would be a way to do it. And I believe that about the people we're coaching and working with as well. If someone comes and says, I want to do this, I always think there's a way to do it. And success for me is enabling those people to do it, but also in a balanced way for my own life. So balance between work and family, and integrating the two, but not to the exclusion of either, is also really important to me.
Yeah, mine's essentially very similar to that. It's about having a career that I'm proud of, that keeps me intellectually stimulated, that's fun. We often have a kind of fun yardstick where if we're doing something, in fact, we don't actually talk about it as much anymore because I think we have more of a hold on what we do. At the beginning, when you start something new, you know, you're taking on lots of different opportunities, you're exposed to lots of different things, and I don't think we definitely weren't as streamlined in our goals. And so often we'd say, you know, this actually isn't fun. And the reason that we started all of this was to enjoy our work, which is definitely underpins everything that we do. And so knowing and enjoying what we do, like Fenella, being able to have balance and being able to have time away from work with my family and for myself, I think we're incredibly lucky. I mean, we talk about saying not saying lucky, because you know, you create your own luck, and I am an absolute advocate of that, but we draw so much out of the bank of Step Up Club as well. You know, we have created a community and a network of women, and we rely on them just as much as they rely on us, and they rely on each other. So we've got our freelancer here today. She's one of our Step Up School students. We you know, everyone that we employ or work with really comes from our own community. And I think building that community, we are very proud of that, and it's very nourishing for us. So having a hold on our lives, I think, would be our ultimate success, and being able to feel proud and nourished on all fronts, which isn't always possible, for sure. It's not like we are living these perfectly balanced lives and we don't get frazzled and we don't have down weeks. But being able to have the perspective on the bigger picture and being in control of that. There was a time when we were both, so we didn't just dump our day jobs and start Step Up. It was a very gradual transition from me being a journalist, Fenella working hard as an executive coach, and then the book kind of evolved in the middle, was written in our spare time. And then as Step Up grew and we realized more what we wanted to do, we slowly let go of responsibilities. And there was a time when I was employed as a journalist at a magazine, doing a lot of work on Step Up, trying to be a successful mum to two young girls, and I really didn't feel like I had control of my life. And that time, in a way, was incredibly important to me understanding what my definition of success is, because it was the lack of control when I was employed by someone else that I found really stressful. Because now there will be weeks where we work too hard, there will be weeks where we've got events three nights a week and we have to be out of the house early in the morning, but we have control of that. And so the following week will be a clear week where we'll work from home for 2 days, you know, center ourselves again, and then jump back in. And I think having that control is a privilege that we have created ourselves, but also it definitely underpins my success.
I can really resonate with that idea of success being about having control of your life, because I think often we equate busyness with success. We look at people who are successful and we imagine they must be really busy. And yet busyness is kind of being out of control. If you're so busy, your life can start to feel that very out of control, and that often doesn't feel good, doesn't feel successful. So I really like that idea of having control over your life and your schedule and that sort of thing, definitely. So I had one more question. I remember when we did an event together, I think it was at the beginning of the year that we did that event. We were talking about New Year's resolutions and things, do you remember? And I remember you talking about role models and why role models are so important. Can you speak about that a little bit?
Well, I think role models are important, but not in the way that we think. So we think the way we tend to use role models is that we tend to look at somebody else who we think has a really great career that we should somehow be aspiring to, or that we are comparing ourselves to that person and think, well, I'm going to be just like that person, or gosh, she's got it all sorted. If only I was like that person, I'm going to copy exactly what she's done, for example. And actually, that isn't really an effective way to use role models. That's really just comparing yourself negatively to other people. The effective way to use role models, and there is an effective way, is to think of it as a sort of a platter of delights that you can kind of sample from and pick the behaviors or the aspects of what they're doing that you like the best and take them for yourself. And you can do that. You can have 20 role models, you can have 30 role models. There can be some people you can know, there can be some people that you have never met, who you see, you know, you hear on a podcast or you see on TV or you read about in a book. And I'm a big advocate of really consciously working on a few specific areas of your life at any one time. So it might be that at the moment you're working on growing your network and becoming more confident in meetings, for example. So therefore, because you can't work on 20 things at the same time, it's just not possible. So say you're working on those two things, what you'd then be doing with your role modeling is you'd be looking around for people who either are networking in a way that looks like the kind of way that you might want to network and you think is successful, that you aspire to. And you are looking at people who are comporting themselves in meetings, or comporting is not English, who are holding themselves in meetings in the way that you want to hold yourself in a meeting. And then you use some of those behaviors and then you kind of try them out. Could be about how people dress. It could be about career paths. But you look at the at specific elements of how they behave or how they are or how they live their life or what they do. And then you kind of borrow them and you try them out and you see if they fit. And then maybe they fit and that's great. Or maybe you need to adapt them and you need to add something from somebody else. And that's how I would talk about role modeling in a really positive and effective way.
So it's really about gaining inspiration from people's behaviours and trying it on for size for yourself, and seeing how that feels or how that could help you.
Yeah.
I'm realising that one role model doesn't have to present all of the parts of yourself that you want to improve. So you can pick and choose, like Fenella said. So there'll be role models you have who there are parts of that person that you actually don't want to emulate. And that's okay. But thinking about how they do certain things well, and using them as a guide to improve that in yourself too.
Yeah, because again, no one's perfect and you're probably not going to want to take on board everyone's qualities or skills, but just taking what you want and what you appreciate
exactly.
About them. Yeah. Amazing. Do you have any, who are your role models, Alice?
Mine's my dad. Just because he's actually retired now, but he was a very successful businessman, but also was always engaged in younger people and incredibly, I'm only talking about him in the past tense because he's not working anymore. He's very much still alive and kicking. But being very conscious to give back to other people. So incredibly giving in his advice and support, and just being an all round good bloke. Your role models can be men.
Yeah.
Just to caveat that.
Good. Yeah.
I've obviously got loads. My mother-in-law is really amazing. She had four children. She has a huge, still global career where she travels a lot, but is extremely present for her kids as well and her grandkids. She's got now six, nearly seven grandchildren, and she's still running a huge department, traveling all the time. My mother is really, I really admire her ability to be present for people. It's something that I struggle with because I'm busy with other things, but also maybe don't have it as naturally as her. She really will check in with other people all the time. She's an amazing networker. She's great at listening and asking questions of people, and she's incredibly charming. So I aspire to that. Barack Obama, he is the best public speaker ever.
I saw someone I know, an old fashion contact, had a baby yesterday and she put on Instagram and his middle name's Obama.
Oh, that's so cool.
I thought that was quite punchy.
That's really cool. I mean, I could just go on and on and on, but there's a few.
Yeah, so I think for people listening, that could be the challenge that we set for you, to think about who your role model is and what it is about them that you like to learn from or gain inspiration from, and let us know on Instagram in the comments section for this podcast. That's the challenge that I'm setting everyone this week. Thank you so much for that. That was really interesting, and I'm definitely taking a lot from it myself. If people want to work with you, where can they find out more about you and follow you and join your courses and all that stuff?
So come to our website, stepupclub.co. If you go to stepupclub.co/step-up-school, you can get all the information about Step Up School. You can also come to us on Instagram at the Step Up Club. And we're also obviously on Facebook and Twitter as well, particularly active on Instagram. We've got an inner circle, which is launching at the end of January. Signups are open now. They tend to fill up really, really quickly. We had one fill up in 5 hours. So there are some spaces still left. So if you're really interested in working one-to-one with us in the new year, then come and find out more about Inner Circle. We always DM us or email us. We'll respond straight away. Happy to have a chat. And the online course, if you're not in London, is also launching in January. And you can find out more about that. And signups are open for that now as well.
Amazing. Thank you so much for all of that. It's really great to chat to you.
Thank you, Chloe.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Please let me know over on Instagram what you thought. And I would love it if you would subscribe to this podcast if you're listening on an iPhone or iTunes. And please leave me a review and a rating. I would really appreciate it if you just took the time to do that. Also, if you'd like to stay in touch with me and hear about the latest podcasts, the events that I run, the courses that I offer, then you can sign up to my free newsletter at karmayou.com/free. And I also send out a free guided relaxation, which I'm told is one of the most relaxing things that you can do. So definitely come on over to karmayou.com/free. I hope you have a great week. Sending you loads of love. Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.